just think, how can I simplify my life? How can I put some structure in place, some boundaries, so that it doesn't feel like I'm working all the time? Because a lot of entrepreneurs feel like they're working all the time because they, you know, your phone is both your personal thing and it's your work thing. And if you don't have systems in place to like keep yourself out of the messages that are in there, then you're going to always feel like you're working. And so I don't have email on my phone. I'm not allowed to go on Instagram between certain hours, like just a personal rule.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I'm not allowed to start it until a certain time during the day, and I have to stop it, you know, a couple hours before bed. And by doing that, you know what, the messages build up, but you know, everybody's gone into their Instagram or their email at one point when there's been a lot of messages, and you can fly through them. And it's actually more beneficial for you to batch task stuff like that.
This is the podcast for people that believe they do not need to change the world. We believe it's all about becoming the most effective version of yourself in the moments in life that matter the most. This is
the Inner Changemaker Podcast. Instead of changing the world, change their world.
Changemakers, what is going on, everyone? It is your man, the host of the show, Jay Wong, and I'm super excited that we are back. We're back doing interviews. We have a fresh interview, the first one for 2019. So whether you are watching us on our YouTube channel or you're listening to us on the podcast, just know we are immensely grateful to have you a part of our world, to have you follow along the journey in discovering how you want to be change maker and how you want to go out there and make a difference, whether it's for your family, whether it's for your community, or whether it's for the world. Regardless of where you stand, I mean, this is the show where we figure out how we can choose legacy over currency. And we're just overall excited because we have a bit of a platform to talk about some of the topics that we're going to discuss today. Now, before I even dive into the interview, let me ask you a couple questions. Have you ever gone through phases or days in your life where you went through anxiety? I know for me, I've been there many, many times where I couldn't sleep and you have this, you know, feeling in your stomach and you know, you're sweating and laying down doesn't feel right, sitting up doesn't feel right, standing up doesn't feel right, you can't eat, and you're just going through the motions and you're trying to figure out why you're going through anxiety, why you're going through this period of transition. You know, one of my favorite quotes, and you probably have heard it in the past, is when one door closes, another one opens. And a variation of that is when one door closes, another one opens, but it sucks when you're stuck in the hallway, right? I don't know if you've ever been there, but I feel for myself, I've been there many of times. And that's what we're going to talk about in this episode, is how to be able to overcome the anxiety, but not just how to overcome it, but how to start leveraging it and acknowledging it, that it's part of the human experience, and be able to channel it and leverage it, start to help you start dominating in life and in business. And that's why I'm super excited to do this interview with my good friend, also a mentor of mine, Craig Ballantyne. And some of you might know him already. He is known as the most disciplined man, the world's most productive man. And once you start hearing the conversation, you might know why. But he's also a pretty prolific content creator, a very prolific writer. He owns ETR, Early to Rise Publishing, which is pretty world recognized. He runs an awesome podcast called The Empire Show with Bedros Koulian. He's also the author of The Perfect Day Formula, How to Own the Day and Control Your Life. And we're here in the interview, we're talking about his new book coming out called Unstoppable, How to Get Through Hell, Overcome Anxiety, and Start Dominating Business and in Life. Isn't that what it's all about? It's about overcoming some of the things that's holding us back and being able to leverage those and create a bigger future. We cover so many different topics. I know there's so many little gems and wisdom in this interview. I don't want to hold you back anymore. So without any more delays, here is the interview with my friend, my mentor, and a really, really awesome guy, Craig Ballantyne. Take it away. Mr. Craig Ballantyne, welcome to the show again, brother.
This is going to be amazing, Jay.
Yeah, man. Hey, I'm super, super glad that you made it out. And, you know, one of the things that I was mentioning to you off record is that there's only been so many people that has done the show multiple times. And I want to make it a really, really clean list, because you got to really knock it out of the ballpark the first time to make it back on, right? So
it's an honor, my man, an honor.
Yeah, well, I thought this was a great occasion to do this because you're coming out with your second book, Unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And I love the tagline that you had on it is how to get through hell, overcome anxiety, and dominate business and life. And I know so many change makers, emerging thought leaders, like they want to be able to dominate business and they want to be able to dominate life. But with that comes a lot of change, right? Mm-hmm. With that comes a lot of anxiety around, you know, different identity shifts and how they could level up. And I know you've documented, you know, you've been talking about even in the perfect day, in the perfect day formula, you talked a lot about your crippling anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, from let's say someone has never heard of you, they've never seen your work, they've never listened to the podcast, they've never seen any videos of you, and they see on your website, and they know that you're known as, you know, either the world's most disciplined man or the world's most productive man. Yeah. How do you go from, you know, crippling anxiety, you know, from like even a young age, I think, to having that transformation on a high level perspective?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so, you know, my anxiety attacks happened when I was around 29. So, you know, but I wasn't super young, but I had experienced like stress and anxiety when I was younger. And, you know, like this really shortness of breath when you were overwhelmed or really stressed out, either during exams or, you know, during some work situations early in my career. And eventually I realized that, eventually I had these anxiety attacks when the funny thing was my business was going as well as it possibly could. So I was actually, when I had my anxiety attacks, I was in the best shape of my life. I was making the most money I'd ever made. I had everything going for me. And I had what most people would think is true freedom. But I didn't have true freedom. I had too much freedom. I had the paradox of freedom. Mm. And so I was working too much. I had no boundaries. And I was going out and celebrating too much and had no boundaries. And, you know, you're in the big city of Toronto, which is where I lived at the time. And, you know, there's you can pretty much go out every night in Toronto. And I tried to test that theory to see if you could go out every night. Sure enough, you could.
You can.
And right. That's what got me into trouble. So it was a combination of overwhelmed with opportunity in a good way. You know, there was so many opportunities coming in my life. So it's not, you're not just going to have anxiety at a bad point in your life. You can have anxiety at good points in your life. When you're overwhelmed with opportunity, when you're working too much because you just love what you do, but you don't have any boundaries in place. And then when you don't have any boundaries and separation between what I call work and home life, whether that means you're on your iPhone all night long when you should be present with family, or if you're, you know, you're just out there celebrating too much at a young age. So there's so many factors and so many influences, and it tends to hit entrepreneurs. A lot of the entrepreneurs that I know, sometime in their early 30s to their late 30s, a lot of entrepreneurs have some sort of thing that happens to them that kind of gets them back on track. Because up until then, you're kind of riding this wave of youthful energy and you can kind of get away with anything until you can't.
Hey, you know, I'm right there. Like, I feel like I have infinite energy.
Right.
And maybe it's because of the espressos. And maybe it's because of all the high performance, you know, things that I've integrated from you and other great mentors. But, you know, I like the idea, or I mean, I like the fact that you brought up that, you know, when you were experiencing anxiety and all these things, I think most people would say, you know, that was a negative experience. Anybody who's, you know, gone through that would say, oh, that's not something I would want, right? But you were saying like you were in the best shape of your life.
Sure,
right?
Man.
Like, I mean, your business was crushing
at that time, for sure. And so it's not, you know, and I was eating right most of the time,
right?
But drinking a little bit too much and too much caffeine on the weekends, and you know, it just all caught up with me, in addition to kind of the way that I was wired, and also keeping too many things inside. Suffering in silence is a phrase that I use in my book and with a lot of my coaching clients, because a lot of people do suffer in silence. They don't want to share their struggles. And they take on a lot of other people's problems. I use the analogy, if you've seen the movie The Green Mile with Tom Hanks. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
So you remember big Michael Clark Duncan, his character, he takes on everybody's pain, right? He sucks that in.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it was the mouse that was dying or, you know, some other thing, he takes this pain, tries to heal people, but he suffers.
Mm.
And so that's the same as with the entrepreneur, is that they're suffering – and they're sucking in, you know, whether it's team members or whether it's clients or whether it's all these opportunities, or it's just a stress and the weight of the world that they're going through. But who are you going to tell? You're not going to tell your team members, because they're like, I got to go home to my family. You're the boss. You deal with it. You're not going to tell your spouse, your girlfriend, boyfriend, because they're, you don't want to worry them. Your friends don't understand because they're not entrepreneurs. And so you suffer in silence. And so that can lead to a lot of stress and anxiety. And we really just need to get out of our own heads through through a whole bunch of things that I talk about in the book.
Right, right, right. You know, one of the things that, I don't know if you remember this, but one of the things that originally connected us was a company called Strategic Coach.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, one of the things you just brought up for me was, I remember I think I was like the youngest person working at Strategic Coach at that time. And I would sit in the back of these rooms. And, you know, Craig, you probably were in the workshops a lot of the times with so many of these entrepreneurs that are doing such amazing things. But I don't know if you ever remember hearing kind of like, not like a testimonial, but a lot of times people would get up in that room and they would say things like, I've never felt more comfortable being in a room of other entrepreneurs and other business owners. Right? Because they couldn't share these things with their team. You know what I mean? They couldn't go home and talk. They don't want to bring work into the household. Right? And that kind of that entrepreneurial type of playground that allowed, you know, three, four times a year allowed them to kind of be themselves and express, you know, whatever it is, obstacles that they were going through, as well as wins.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of them up until that point, a lot of entrepreneurs don't realize that other entrepreneurs are going through this. They think they're the only one until they get in that room, that safe space, you know, and they share it, and then they hear it from somebody else and go, oh, you're struggling with that too? I didn't know that. I thought I was the only one. And then they meet somebody who was like, oh yeah, I went through that last year. Here's how you get out of it. And that's the power of being in groups like the ones that you have, Jay, or being at events for, you know, in your industry, you got to be able to be around people. And if you're just an entrepreneur, you need to be around other entrepreneurs in general so that you can get the hints and help that you need and share, you know, their first world problems in most cases. But at the end of the day, we do need help getting over those. So that's a really great point. And I've seen that many, many times through working with Dan Sullivan at Strategic Coach, and then also some other groups that I've been in, plus all the ones that I run as well. People are just, you know, they just kind of melt and are relieved, and that anxiety is off the weight of the world is off their shoulders when they're like, holy cow, somebody finally understands me.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you know, I was doing one of your workshops earlier in 2018, and it was just so tremendous to be in it, because I think sometimes people miss it. They want to go to, I think there's tons of benefits of going to like the big conferences and like, you know, seeing like, you know, if you're just kind of getting rolling, you're so excited by it all. But I love the intimacy sometimes where there's only 5, 6, 10 entrepreneurs in a room and you can really get down to business. So that was one thing I always appreciated about you in your workshops that you had infused. Going back into, you know, you're saying like you had paradox of, you know, or you had all this freedom, all this choice, and, you know, everything on the outside seemed like it was going really well, right? But inside there, you know, there was a different story being told. What was like a first win for you, you know, that you kind of started making that transition? Because, you know, another great lesson that I learned from you, which I know when you did your, when we did our private kind of like AMA for the Changemaker Club, that, you know, I told everyone, I said, you know, Craig was the guy who first told me, you know what I mean, with greater systems comes greater freedom, right? And I just need more systems in my life. Because I think when everyone starts out, they go, oh, I want to do this as a lifestyle business. I want to be able to, like, you know, drink martinis and be on the beach and work 4 hours a week, right? And I think that's sometimes how you approach, or at least that's how I was approaching things. So I learned that systems, I learned, you know, how to be able to put different parameters around me. How did you first kind of go about looking at that when you were, you know, quote unquote, crushing it when, you know, you were going through that stage?
Yeah. So I'm going to answer that two ways. I'm going to answer it first of all with, before we get to the systems and structure and business, you know, the first thing that popped in my head when you said, hey, what was like a first win that you had? And I was thinking about when I actually had the anxiety attacks. And when I had the anxiety attacks, it was New Year's Day of 2006. So January 1st, I had a bender the night before, woke up the next day, was in a terrible shape. And all of a sudden my heart starts pounding and all this stuff. And I paced in a tiny condo in downtown Toronto for about 10 hours. And then I kind of was like, okay, I give up. I'm going to the hospital. And the first win that I had was when I went outside, and all of a sudden being out in fresh air, even though it was cold air, helped reduce my anxiety. And then when I got in the cab and I started asking the taxi driver to take me to the emergency room, just talking to another person gave me a victory. And then when I went to the emergency room and explained myself to the nurse and there was human touch, that reduced my anxiety. So the reason why I wanted to bring that up before I go into the structure and system stuff, Jay, is because for anybody who's dealing with that extreme level of anxiety, who's going through it right now, or has a friend or family member going through it right now, realize that the first victory is getting out physically. So getting out, you know, being in fresh air is helpful, but also getting out of your own head. Because when you have anxiety, when you're worrying about something and you sit there and you stew, you know, you're sitting there and you just let your anxiety engine rev and your mind race, and it all builds up. And that's the worst thing that we can do. That's the suffering in silence. So the biggest victory that somebody can have there is to go and talk to someone. I do recommend going and, you know, if you have anxiety, if you feel like your heart is pounding and all this stuff, go see your doctor. Just make sure that there's nothing physically wrong with you. So, you know, that's the first conversation you have. Then maybe you go to a therapist, or you explore and you start talking and you do journaling, and that gets out of your head. But all of this stuff is the first victory for the physical symptoms of anxiety. Now, having said all that, once I was able to get through the worst of the physiological anxiety and realize, okay, listen, now that I know there's nothing physically wrong with me, I realize I have to start making changes to my life. And that was the structure and systems. And one of the simplest ones was regular bedtime, regular wake-up time. And don't deviate from it drastically on the weekends like I was. Like, I was going to bed on Saturday night at the time I would usually get up on Tuesday morning. Obviously, that's not something that you can keep pace with for a long, long time and not get burned by it. And so just think, how can I simplify my life? How can I put some structure in place, some boundaries, so that it doesn't feel like I'm working all the time? Because a lot of entrepreneurs feel like they're working all the time because they, you know, your phone is both your personal thing and it's your work thing. And if you don't have systems in place to, like, keep yourself out of the messages that are in there, then you're going to always feel like you're working. And so I don't have email on my phone. I'm not allowed to go on Instagram between certain hours, like, just a personal rule. You know, I'm not allowed to start it until a certain time during the day, and I have to stop it, you know, a couple hours before bed. And by doing that, you know what, the messages build up, but you know, everybody's gone into their Instagram or their email at one point when there's been a lot of messages, and you can fly through them. And it's actually more beneficial for you to batch task stuff like that than it is for you to always be in there. Because if you're always in there, then you feel like you're always working and you feel like you're never actually moving ahead. So you need to be able to separate. I like to steal that phrase, like, from the US government, like separation of church and state. I use same phrase for, like, separation of work and home life. And I know that's difficult in this day and age when a lot of people work at home and that sort of stuff, but there needs to be rituals and routines. Like, one of the ones that I use is the brain dump exercise that people can use to separate the end of the workday from when they need to be present with their family. And so there's all these tools that a lot of them are in the book, some of them were in the Perfect Day Formula book, and it's just the separation. And then that allows you to be super present either with work, so you get more done, or with family or hobbies or health or whatever. I mean, I'll be honest, like, I went through a period last year where I was not following my system, and I was, you know, looking at my phone while I was exercising, and I feel stressed. Like, exercise should be like a reduction of stress for me. And, you know, so eventually I slapped my wrist and I got back on track. So, you know, sometimes we all fall victim to these things, but you need to have that self-reflection and introspection to see what causes more than the normal amount of stress, and what systems can we put in place that give us freedom from electronics, that give us freedom from stress, so that we can live a much better life.
Yeah. And you know, I think, you know, one of the things I certainly wanted to bring up and ask you, right, was, you know, why now? meaning why do you think this book is relevant in 2019, right? Because you're so right. We're living in this age where everybody is almost drowning in content, right? And notifications and push notifications and everything. Life is so awesome and great because we can do so many, you know, different things with technology that we could never, you know, we would have never been able to do before. And, you know, from simple things like Insta stories, right, to being able to order whatever your dinner is, or, you know, to being able to, you know, stay in touch with.
You can listen to your podcasts on like 19 different devices over the course of the day, right?
You can, like, there's like, Android comes out with like a new app, like every other day that you could be in tune with it, right? And all your devices are connected, right? Everything is like a smart home device, right? We're moving more into that arena. So, you know, I love what you said there in terms of like separating out, you know, work and, you know, being on social and just being just honestly focus, right? Choosing, you know, as you went into that, I was like, hey, that's where the most disciplined man comes in. You know what I mean? Like that's, I was like, oh, Craig's getting into it, because, you know, a lot of people that it sounds great, right? Like conceptually that they're like, they can hear you, but I feel like a lot of times they're like, well, it just all bleeds into itself. Do you know what I mean? Why do you think the book now is more relevant than ever, given the time of just the context of social and where we're at?
Yeah. So one of the things that I talk about in the book is that according to a New York Times article, 40 million Americans, not 40 million people in the world, but 40 million Americans deal with anxiety on some sort of level. So you're looking at over 10% of the American population alone. Yeah. And it's more prevalent than ever because more people are talking about it. You know, for a long time, people suffered in silence, you know, because you couldn't talk about anxiety. I mean, I talk about it, you know, on podcasts, on stage. It doesn't bother me whatsoever to admit it, but a lot of people are fearful of it and they're scared. They don't know. They don't understand it. I call it a black box because when you're going through it, you don't know what's going on inside of you. You can't explain it to somebody else. And so I want to be the voice for people that are really kind of lost in this space. And there's so many people out there who need it. It's becoming more and more prevalent at a young age. And, you know, I don't know exactly why, but I would guess that social media has a role in it. Our reduced physical activity, you know, all the chemicals that, you know, there's a whole bunch of environmental changes that we've been put through, plus lack of sleep, and, you know, there's caffeine in everything these days, and enormous amounts of caffeine. I mean, people just don't understand how much caffeine is in some of these things that they, you know, we consume, you know, like candy, because the, you know, so they're caffeinated candies, but, you know, a Monster energy drink has 150 milligrams of caffeine. And I was just talking to a guy, one of my coaching clients the other day, who suffers from anxiety, and he drinks three of them a day.
Oh my God.
I was like, do you know how much caffeine is in there? And it's like over 200 milligrams of caffeine per day. It has a 30% increase in anxiety and insomnia and all this stuff. So, I mean, you know, that's way, way too much, but it's just normal because it's so prevalent up there. So all of those factors, Jay, in addition to the speed of the world is faster than ever. You know, everyone has in every generation has always felt that, I'm sure, but you know, it probably is true more so today. And the technology is really all around us at all times. And there is just such a power to separating ourselves from that. Not that you need to go and live in the woods or anything, but you do need to step away from that. And I just want people to find, you know, and what I'm showing people in the book are a lot of solutions, and I want them to find the right one that will work for them. Like I tried everything. I did yoga, meditation, Tai Chi, Qigong, all these things. And I hated all of them. But they taught me how to breathe properly, which was huge, really important because most people don't breathe properly. And I found the one that worked for me. I did actually decide to stick with meditation, and it's been helpful. And I do more of just a deep breathing meditation than like a transcendental meditation or anything like that.
Right.
But I found something that helped me get out of that prison that I was in.
Yeah.
And now I don't really have any fear of going back to it. So I just want to show people like, hey, here are like 19 different roads to get you out of that black box of anxiety, and you will find one.
Hey, Changemakers, are you enjoying the episode so far? Before we go a bit deeper, I gotta ask, want to go to the next level of your life by playing a bigger game? Want to finally step into the leader that you truly are? You can now grab a copy of my new audio training, How to Become the Leader You Truly Are, for free at www.theinnerchangemaker.com/leadership. Inside the training, you will find my top three proven secrets from millionaires and billionaires that have been featured on the show. And by applying them, I was able to go from sleeping in my parents' living room to leading and running multiple successful businesses and began this endless journey of impacting those closest to me. You can become a changemaker too. Once again, it's www.theinnerchangemaker.com/leadership. Now back to the episode.
Yeah, and I think that's what I love most about, you know, your work and this book, which is like, it just gives you the tools, right? Mm. To kind of like let you know, hey, these are the tools available. You don't have to do all of them, right? But start picking one or two and applying them and see how that fits for you, right? And,
absolutely.
And I love that because so many of them are also so simple, right? And there's that saying of like, I think Sean Stevenson said this when he came on the podcast, which was like, common sense is not common practice,
no.
Right? And I love, you know, going back to one of your earlier answers, like, you know, the first win was like going outside. You know what I mean? The first, you know, the other win was like physical touch, you know, human connection, right? Another win was breathing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I remember when I went to, I think it was like a Brendon Burchard, like a high performance, I got like a ticket. I was just starting out, like it was like literally 3 months in starting.
Cool.
I had like nothing to do. Someone invited me and I was like, sure, I'm going to totally be there. And it was like one of these four day seminars.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Brendon kind of like in action, but it's I wouldn't say it's not like Tony Robbins. Brendon has his own thing. But sure. One of the things that he said was, he's like, hey, there's no coffee here. There's no coffee in the room. Because what I'm showing you, it's all about these little things that you could do to increase your energy throughout the day. And we were doing like breathing exercises. We got up, you know, once every like 60 to 90 minutes, right? Mm. Doing like basic kind of like Qigong and just like moving your body, you know, and drinking water, right? And I couldn't believe it, but we had the audience had great energy throughout the entire 3-4 day event, right?
Yeah, a lot of it comes from him too, man. I mean, that guy is an amazing machine and there's a lot to learn.
For sure. So for you, like, what are the basic things? I mean, you mentioned sleep, right? Because, and I know obviously in the perfect day formula, you have frameworks, legitimately actual frameworks. I remember in the last episode teaching people what are the parameters around sleep. What are some of the other ones for you that you kind of, even if you kind of get out of, you know, if you're not in flow or what have you, you can kind of resort back to those that it really puts you back into a more, you know, present state.
Yeah, I'll give you two. And the first, so I'll go first into breathing because it is so important, because your breathing can fix so many problems. And so the problem that I had when I was younger is over a computer like this all day, and right. over a computer like that all day hunches you over, and you tend to breathe from your upper chest. And when you breathe from your upper chest, you have short, shallow breaths. Like when remember when you're a kid and you like tried to hyperventilate into like a brown paper bag or something like that.
Right.
And when you do that, you blow off extra carbon dioxide and your body responds by releasing a hormone called adrenaline, also known as epinephrine. So adrenaline is increased when you increase your caffeine intake, any type of stimulant, when you're stressed. It's a fight or flight response. And if you have that bubbling up in you all the time, you're always adrenalized, you're going to end up in a lot of trouble. Mm. But and so that also goes with your sympathetic nervous system. So there's two nervous systems. You have your sympathetic nervous system and your parasympathetic nervous system, which calms you down. So we want to activate our parasympathetic nervous system when we're in a state of stress. Okay, this is the type of thing that it's activated by yoga, by, you know, just totally chilling out, by being as calm as possible. And we can do that very, very quickly. And it doesn't take like an hour of yoga. You can do it probably in about 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay.
So there's a couple of breathing techniques. And if you just want to keep it as simple as possible, do 4 second inhale, 6 second exhale. Do that 10 times and, you know, that's a minute and a half and you'll feel better. But there's this Dr. Andrew Weil who's got, you've probably seen him. He's got this big gray beard. I think he was actually, and he's long known in the alternative health space. And he has this breathing technique where you do a 4 second inhale, you hold for 7 seconds, and then you exhale for 8 seconds. So that's like 19 seconds, right? And if you do that 3 times, you'll calm down. If you do that for like 4 minutes, like there's like a warning on it that says you'll fall asleep. And so whenever I'm, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people have been in this situation before, whenever you're tossing and turning in bed, you can fall asleep. If you go through like 4 minute round of that, you know, 4 seconds in, hold that breath, 8 seconds out, your parasympathetic nervous system is going to be totally activated. You're going to totally chill out and you probably won't even get through 4 minutes of it because it's also super boring. So it's like even better than counting sheep. So that's the first thing, that this is a tool that you can use while you're sitting at your computer, while you're in an Uber, while you're standing in a subway car and you're like, I don't like being surrounded by all these people. Control the situation with your breath, because your breath controls your nervous system. Your nervous system controls your anxiety and your state and your flow. Much like the opposite, like if you were in a Brennan event and you were like he might teach you like some short shallow breaths. I'm not saying that he did. I'm not putting any breaths in Brennan's mouth, but I'm saying that's one way. Like if you want to get fired up, you would do some upper chest breathing. But that's totally different. So that's the one thing. And then the other thing is more of a mental state. So if you find yourself in worry and fear and like, you know, I've got a call coming up in an hour today that I've been stressed about. And earlier today, man, I was fighting. I was like, I don't want to be stressed by this thing. I've got work to do. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go solve somebody else's problem. And so when I can go and solve somebody else's problem, I can't think about my own anxiety. Mm. This is something I've learned over time. It's kind of like when people say, hey, you can't be scarcity minded when you're giving gratitude.
Right.
And it is hard to be, you know, scarcity minded when you're giving gratitude. It is hard to be like worrying about yourself when you're at a soup kitchen, you know, feeding meals and stuff like that. And it circles back to anxiety as well, that you can't be worried about yourself and stewing and like, oh my gosh, and like, you know, losing control of your breathing. If you're out there helping somebody, you know, whether it's by email, like, hey, man, this person's got a problem. I'm going to help them. I'm going to make them a short video. I'm going to make them, you know, an Instagram direct message. I'm going to do something for somebody else. And that little bit, if done enough, can really help you get out of that state as well. So those are just two of the things that can really, really, really help.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. I mean, I love both of them. You know, I think breathing is hyper, hyper important. But I love that second one too, because there's so much wisdom in that little gesture, you know, of when you are, you know, when you're going through, whether it's like scarcity mindset or anxiety. And a lot of times you're projecting. I know for me personally, it's a lot of times like, oh,
that's all I've done today, Jay, is projected on this phone call. Right. I've like ran through 14 different scenarios and I'm like, you can't do anything about this, you know, just relax.
Right. And it's like, control what you can control.
Yes.
Right. And it's like, all these things are like, we all know these things, you know, but are we doing them? Are we executing on them? Right. And I've been there so many times where sometimes you end up, especially with social media, is as you play this comparison game, you know what I mean? And you go, oh, like, you know, you start projecting yourself in the future. It's like, am I going to be good enough? What about this? Like, what about this scenario? Right. But so many times just knowing that, hey, I can go and give value to someone right now. I can go and solve someone's problem right now. In fact, what I love most about it is that it puts me into action rather than sitting here and trying to like contemplate and like, oh, like what about this? And what if this happens? Right. And like, then so much time goes by. And what, in my opinion, what ends up happening is like it's almost like you're not in momentum. Like you're not moving. I'm not saying you always have to be moving. Right. But when you're helping someone, it's creating that little spark, right.
Yeah,
it's creating that little bit of a win for you, as well as for them. And you're absolutely right. You can't think about your problem when you're, if you're present helping them. Right. Yeah. And so that's like kind of like the beauty of it. So I love that you share that.
Yeah. And I have this little phrase that I mentioned probably about a dozen times in the book. And I just posted on social media today and people love it. And one guy's painted it on a wall in his house already. I think somebody has it tattooed on themselves as well. And it's very simple. It's 9 words. And if you remember nothing else from my book, remember these 9 words, which is action beats anxiety, motion beats meditation, work beats worry. Okay. Mm. And the middle part, like people get all freaked out, but like, what do you mean? No, don't meditate. Like, I thought you meditate, right? I do. But what I mean is it goes back to like, if you're just going to sit there in a chair and worry all day long and like meditate over the problem, not like actually meditate, but like just think about the problem and project, man, you're not going to get any better. But if you go out there and take action, whether it's on your problem or whether it's on somebody else's problem, then we go and we make some progress towards it. And so there was one other story I want to share it's actually from the last chapter in my book.
Yeah, please.
But I was on a flight back from Europe last summer and I was watching Doctor Strange, and I didn't think I was going to like this movie, Doctor Strange, because I was like, how could this be a superhero movie? And I loved it. It was one of my favorite Marvel movies. But at the end, I had to go back and watch this scene 3 times because I was like, wait a minute, is this like a self-help personal development seminar in a Marvel movie? Because if you've ever seen the movie, you know, when the Ancient One is like ready to die and Doctor Strange is there?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's like trying to stop her from going, dying essentially, right?
Right. Yeah. And she's like lecturing him on like, it's not about you. It's about, you know, you doing stuff for others. And I was like, I watched it 3 times. I ended up Googling the transcript and I copied and pasted like some of the transcript is the opening quote for the final chapter in my book, because I still can't believe, like, I don't know who wrote this, but I got to go and like give him a hug someday because it was really, really powerful. And it is exactly the same message that you and I have been talking about for the last couple of minutes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, after we finish this, we're going to make sure to grab that quote, and people that are watching this and listening, because that they can repost that. And I'm sure people are going to be like, okay, we're watching Doctor Strange tonight. Right. I got to go find this one scene. That's so awesome. And I think it's so spot on. Hey, just changing gears a little bit. I know in the last year and a half, I believe, you really, you know, have been applying all the great habits and things that we've talked about now, but you've really done it on Instagram, specifically Instagram stories.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And it would be a sin if I had you on and we didn't talk about this, right? Because I think you're one of the most consistent, if not one of the most consistent individuals on Instagram, right?
I'm no Grant Cardone, but I'm pretty close.
It's pretty, I mean, you know, Grant, like that's the thing, right? Grant, Gary, all these guys, like they have like massive teams. Last time I checked, Gary had like almost 30 people on just Team Gary V, like just personal brand.
Wow. Right?
Now, most people don't obviously have that luxury, right? And most people are, you know, especially the ones that are listening this and watching this, and they're out there creating their own content. They're taking the Greg Ballantyne quote and they, hey, what an amazing quote. Let me share that with my audience. Let me share some insights on that. For you, like, I love if you talk about this to kind of kick things off, because just even in your social media, in your Instagram course, you made the distinction between, so I think you called it business media versus social media. Right. So talk a little bit about that, because you mentioned it already in terms of like the parameters that you set for yourself in terms of how you use social.
Yeah. So first of all, I'll quote my friend Joe Polish, who's a friend of Dan Sullivan's. And Joe Polish said, use social media, but don't let social media be used on you, which is, man, I mean, right there, that just flips your mindset about how you view your social media. But then I decided to go and I looked at it and I went, okay, I'm going to use business media. I'm going to look at Instagram and Facebook and all this stuff as business media, not as social media. And so there's a couple of family members and friends who I will, you know, look at their posts. But for most of the time, I'm only using these platforms for business purposes. And I'm going and I'm being productive. I'm going in, using them, getting out of them, very much like you would look at the same thing with email. And, you know, if you really want to connect with somebody who's in your social circle, then do so in a different way, but don't try and keep up with a whole bunch of people and also don't have like, don't follow hundreds and hundreds of people on social media. You just can't do it because you're going to get overwhelmed. So use these things just like, you know, when we were growing up, there was like ABC, CBS, Fox, and like, you know, there was like five channels. And that's the way I want somebody to look at all these apps that are out there. Those are like, you know, your Instagram is your Fox and your ABC is your Facebook and this, that. You control all of those platforms and you're going to put the content out there. You're going to put the shows out there and attract people to contact you. But other than that, you're not going to go and spend hours on that stuff because you can get lost in it. And if you look at Instagram and all that stuff in that sort of way, then now you've got a better handle on it. And then you can go in, you can start saying, okay, well, Instagram is going to be like my TV show where I go and make these stories that people are going to tune into every day. And I can get them to take the next step, which might be contacting me or going and, you know, downloading something or, you know, swiping up to get my course and just building the platform. Very much like, you know, podcasting is a media for you. And I use Instagram as the same, look at it the same sort of way.
Yeah. No, I think that I wanted to start there because I think that is super it's a super healthy mindset around it. And it also gives you the right perspective in terms of like, what's the priority of it? Because more than ever now, people only buy from people they know. As you taught me, people know, love, and trust, right? And so showing up in a consistent manner in a show, I think moving into, you know, 2019 and beyond, it's going to be about what are the shows that you're creating? What's that ongoing conversation piece that you have infused with your marketing that is going to make a world of difference, right?
Absolutely.
And absolutely. So what are some of the things, and I know you have a whole course, which I would love to link to down below. You know, I personally went through it and I thought it was absolutely great in terms of not just even how to use Instagram, but like your mindset for like social. But what are some of the things that you do on a consistent basis? Because I see your stories all the time and I know you've really like nailed down, not just like the algorithm and like, not like even like gamifying it, but really just showing up every day, providing some great value and obviously making some great revenue from it at the exact same time.
Yeah. The most important thing here for anybody to understand about Instagram and social media in general and email and even podcasting is this 7-word phrase: enter the conversation in the prospect's mind. So Monday morning, you know, middle of January, the video, the content you create that day is going to look way different than a Friday afternoon in July, right? That's obvious. Now you have to think about that every single day when you're putting together your content planning. And, you know, we do plan out our Instagram posts relatively far in advance, the same with our stories, because I want somebody to wake up on this day and for me to show up with a story where they go, how did he know I was thinking about this? Man, that's amazing. This guy is, you know, elevates the know, love, and trust factor because you show up all the time. And there might be a fourth factor in there because I go back to Grant Cardone. He made a video recently where he's like, people don't do business with people they like. People do business with people that they hear of. It's all about attention, baby. And so I was like, okay, so there's no love, trust. But first you have to get their attention in order for somebody to know, love, and trust you. And that's why I show up every single day. That's why I do multiple posts on my Instagram. I actually don't spend much time on Facebook or YouTube because I'm mastering the Instagram right now. And the payoff that I get from Instagram is far greater than if I did a, you know, half-baked effort on some of those other things. So I'm getting a lot of attention there. But showing up every single day is a message that you can, entering the conversation in the prospect's mind is something that you can take for anything that you do in your marketing. And when you do that, you've won because they're like, this person is talking to me. They understand me. Now I feel like I can trust this person. We can move forward with the next step. That's really one of the keys.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And we're going to obviously link to your Instagram. You guys want to see some of this in action? Just follow Craig for like a couple weeks. And you'll see like every other day, every single day, he's coming out with some very contextual content and it's going to make a world of difference. So Craig, where can people find and pick up this book? And I imagine Instagram is where they can socially stalk you in that way. Is there a book website, or just go to Craig Ballantyne?
We will have it on Amazon, of course. We're actually pushing hard for an Amazon bestseller in January. So when it comes out, but then after that, beunstoppablebook.com is where you will be able to get it. And when you get the book, there's a link inside to send you to a 2-hour course, video course that I made for anybody that buys the book as well. So that's going to be a bonus for everyone. And then you can find me on Instagram at RealCraigBallantyne. And if you're old school like me and you want to just email me, you can email me at craig@godfather.com.
And we'll link to all those below. For a second, I thought you were like, you could write me a letter at, you know, 1, 2, 3, you know. Well,
that's one of the things I talk about in the book is writing thank you letters all the time. So I write a thank you letter every day, handwritten. It's
nice.
It's illegible because of my writing, but I still write it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Before we wrap up, last couple questions for you. First off, I think there's been so many great aspects and great angles of this interview. So for those of you that are listening and watching this, like, go back over this, right? Because I think one of the things the themes is like, hey, some of these things sound simple, right? But it's not in knowing these things. It's really in practicing these things. Right. So Craig, like, now that you're coming up with a second book, you know, and I think you're doing these amazing workshops, you're working with some amazing business leaders, you know, you have a great, you know, podcast, people are watching your Instagram. And so you figure it out, the pieces of business and marketing in your life that works for you. How do you kind of view the impact your work right now? Because there's so many people that are going through perfect life formula, doing your workshops, especially like, you know, reading your new book. How do you see the whole theme of the show is really on, you know, people choosing and creating their own legacy, right? And choosing that over currency, over money, right? How do you kind of see your legacy play out? Do you think about things like that?
Oh my goodness, do I ever. I think about it way more than most people. And so to simplify is that what I want to do is I want to help people transform their lives physically, financially, mentally, and emotionally. And, you know, from my history, I started out in the fitness world where I was really transforming people's lives physically and a little bit mentally and emotionally. But then we moved into more personal development, and now we moved into more the business stuff because, you know, all those aspects can be made simpler so that people can have better lives. And so that's what it's about. Transform the lives. And we've actually put a number on it of 100 million people physically, financially, mentally, and emotionally. That's our goal.
I love that. Big numbers, going big. I love that. I appreciate you coming on so much because I feel like you shared so much wisdom. The name of the show, Inner Changemaker. I asked you this whenever you came on before, under episode 100, I think it was episode 95. What's your definition? When you hear the word changemaker, any thoughts, images, what comes to mind for you now?
Oh man, like a rebel, like a person who is just not happy with the way things are. And, you know, so disruptive these days. I mean, everybody's changing stuff that has been stayed the same for 30 or 40 years, and it needs to be changed. And that's what bottom line is, that the world needs the change makers.
Yeah. Well, Craig, I must say, and I must commend you because I feel like having you on the show, you're a really great example of someone who's doing that, right? A rebel in their own ways and someone who didn't just, you know, like they had all these things, you know, anxiety and things internally that were going against them, but you found a way to work through it. And now you're sharing some of your frameworks with us, some of your tools. And, you know, we deeply appreciate that. So appreciate you, brother. You're a great example of a change maker, man.
Thank you so much, Jay. You too.
Awesome, man. Hey, we'll catch you next time. And if you were watching this and listening to this, you got any value out of this, reach out to us. Let us know on social. Let Craig know on Instagram because that's his platform. He loves that. And we'll talk to you all next time.
Have you been thinking of leveraging podcasts and Alexa shows to help grow your business? Not sure maybe where to start and scared of wasting time on the wrong things? Let me be your guide as I show you the right sequences and steps to be able to launch a top-rated show on iTunes, as well as actually leverage your podcast and leverage your Alexa show to build out your business. Don't you think it's time that you put your voice behind your products and services? If you were drawn to this show, then I know that it's time that you got working on your message and sharing that with the world. Get my podcast creation roadmap for free at www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap. Once again, it's www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap.